Joining us now is the co-host of Inside the HBCU Sports Lab down in Houston, Texas, a weekly sports talk show that examines the sports and sports business practices of the HBCU conferences, which is the SWAC, the MEAC, the SIAC, and the CIAA. He's also the host of Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club, a podcast that focuses on Jackson State University athletics. It's the one and only Charles Bishop. Charles, how are you doing today, my friend?
Hi, how are you gentlemen doing today?
Hey, we're doing well.
We're doing well. Obviously, news broke this week, and it affects North Dakota State, which is obviously local here to Fargo, North Dakota. The MEAC has announced that it is canceling fall sports, which affects NDSU's second non-conference game this fall, where they were scheduled to play North Carolina A&T here in the Fargo Dome. So what else can you tell us about the MEAC and their decision to cancel fall sports?
Well, I think if you take a look at it, the MEAC's decision was based on the fact that within that region of the country, I think there's just an increase in positive COVID-19 numbers, and that's hospitalization rate. So when you take that into consideration, the numbers just simply are not going down here. So they had to really kind of make a business decision that they just could not go forward. So I think across the South and Southeast region, you're going to see a lot more of this because, unfortunately and tragically, the numbers just are not going down.
Exactly. And that kind of spins into my next question. Obviously, the MEAC made it official on Thursday with their press conference. And then shortly after that, the news is at least somewhat breaking that the SWAC is obviously considering canceling fall sports as well. What can you tell us about the SWAC and where they're at with their decision?
Well, I mean, when you take a look at the MEAC making their decision, I think that has a huge impact on the Southwestern Athletic Conference with the MEAC SWAC Challenge, which is a huge opening game around Labor Day here for the MEAC and SWAC, and then the Celebration Bowl. Celebration Bowl is a bowl game for the SWAC and MEAC, and it's a huge payout. It's $1 million payout. ESPN Events puts it on. So that decision by the MEAC, I think, undoubtedly will have an effect on the SWAC. So I understand that there will be an announcement on Monday with the Southwestern Athletic Conference, and we'll see where they go from there.
Now, one of the questions I have then related to both conferences is that obviously this is going to have a ripple effect across college sports. Football is such a big-ticket, revenue-making sport for these schools. So how was the cancellation of fall sports, especially football, going to affect MEAC and the SWAC? Are they real dependent on those revenues, or do they have enough boosters, et cetera, to maintain their sports programs?
Well, I think one of the statements that Dr. McClellan, the commissioner of the SWAC, has made has been that the SWAC especially is a little more used to, if you will, kind of working on a budget that doesn't require television and things of that nature, where if you look at the Power Five, you know, a lot of it is based on television contracts. So, you know, they're not wanting to break any of those sorts of contracts. But I think undoubtedly it's going to have an economic impact. I think when you take a look, a lot of SWAC and MEAC schools, both, they schedule out-of-conference games that are huge revenue producers for not just football, but the athletic budget overall. So undoubtedly, canceling fall sports is going to have a dire effect, if you will. But I think, you know, and from talking and listening to the SWAC commissioner, they're used to working through budget crisis, if you will, and they will somehow, some way make it. But make no mistake that this is definitely going to hurt teams in the Southwestern Athletic Conference and the MEAC. It's going to hurt them definitely.
And then, Charles, so, of course, we're up in Fargo. We have to hit on a little bit with the NDSU Bison, but they've had two non-conference games canceled now, with Oregon and then with the MEAC canceling the North Carolina A&T game, and then the SWAC, of course. Do you think college football as a whole, whether regionally or just in general, that they're in danger of having no non-conference games at this point and just trying to stick with their regions to even try and get a season out at this point?
I think two or three weeks ago. That was part of the calculation in terms of trying to look at playing within the region and looking at all options that were on the table. But the sad reality of it is here in the South, we just have not had the numbers go down. And like I said, the hospitalization rates have really pushed things really to the edge. So I think that that was probably a calculus you probably could have made two or three weeks ago. Well, maybe we can do things in a regional manner, but I think we're beyond that point now. And the reality of it is, it's just going to be hard to play fall sports with the numbers continuing to increase the way they are.
Absolutely. I think it was interesting, too, this week the CAA, another FCS conference, announced that they would not be playing football this fall. However, a lot of those teams are farther up towards the Northeast, and a school like James Madison is going to attempt to cobble together a schedule and still has the ability to go ahead and play games this fall, obviously, unless something changes. Do you think there's any teams in the MEAC or SWAC that would consider that option, kind of going it on their own and trying to put together a schedule just to have football? Or is that are all the schools in line in the SWAC and MEAC that if the season's canceled, that's final?
I think there's probably been discussion in terms of whether and I think it's different from state to state. Texas is unfortunately is a little different from Louisiana. Same with Mississippi, Alabama. But I think there's been discussions with teams within various states in terms of looking at trying to play an independent schedule. But I think at the end of the day, teams in the Southwestern Athletic Conference, they will align with whatever the presidents come to a decision and make, and they will fall in line with the commissioner. I don't personally see any team within the confines of the conference going about it independently.
Now, there was an interesting topic that came up, I believe it might have been a week and a half ago. Your co-host, Dr. Cavill, was on a different show, and one of the hosts there proposed the idea that there's a Division II conference, I believe, that had postponed their season, and there might have been one school that was not in California. And the topic came up that could this pandemic make some schools kind of reprioritize their athletic funds and consider dropping down from, say, an FBS to an FCS or an FCS down to Division II to be more competitive, to be able to cut costs as far as how far you have to travel for games, etc. Do you think that is a potential that could come across in college football after this pandemic?
You know, I think that's always a consideration, and we've seen teams move down from the FCS level to Division II. We saw Savannah State that used to be part of the MEAC, they moved down. We saw Winston-Salem State a few years ago, they moved down from the FCS to Division II. But I think we have to kind of take a look at the reality. I think if you're already playing Division I athletics, oh, guys, the money actually is in FBS. So you probably would try to look at trying to maintain where you are and looking at some point down the line to make a foray into FBS, at least where there's bowl money and things of that nature. That's been one of the, I think, you know, godsends, if you will, of the Celebration Bowl is the $1 million payout. And that's one of the reasons why the MEAC and SWAC moved away from the playoffs in order to get this bowl game and get this bowl game payout. So I think that teams would probably want to maintain their Division I status in some ways. And I think it's something that Dr. McClellan has talked about in terms of with the additions of Florida A&M to the SWAC and Bethune-Cookman to the SWAC, that it strengthens the conference. It strengthens the conference geographic footprint to go from Texas to Florida. And in the future, they probably would look at some form of looking at trying to get to the FBS.
Interesting. Now that you brought that up, actually, that was a question I had for you probably a couple weeks ago when it happened. With Bethune-Cookman and Florida A&M swapping conferences, going from the MEAC to the SWAC, is the MEAC in any kind of danger of kind of having to just flat out merge with the SWAC and go that route? Because I know some of the teams in the MEAC are joining the Big South, etc. So what does the future hold for the MEAC now that they're starting to lose teams to the SWAC?
Well, make no mistake about it. They've had teams that they've lost over the past few years, and it has definitely impacted the MEAC. From listening to the press conferences with MEAC Commissioner Dennis Thomas, he continues to maintain that the MEAC is a strong conference, and they will go forward with the teams that they have in the conference. But losing Florida A&M, which is a huge brand name within HBCU athletics. You take a look at the history of Florida A&M, one of the winningest coaches in college football history, Jay Gaither, Bullet Bob Hayes, Ken Riley, so many names that you can go on and on with Florida A&M. That is a big brand name to lose out of your conference. So now you're taking a look at North Carolina A&T, his move to the Big South. You're taking a look at Hampton, his move to the Big South. And now Florida A&M and Bethune-Cookman have moved to the SWAC. So it definitely, I think, cripples the MEAC much more than they were just a few years ago.
And then the final football question I have for you, Charles, this may sound actually kind of insane, but you cover a lot of Jackson State athletics. That's kind of where you specialize in. Do you think with the SWAC, they haven't officially said that they're canceling the season yet, but is there a chance that Jackson State football, maybe the season gets canceled, they try and revive the season by going and playing neutral site games or even going to NDSUs, the Illinois States, your different SDSU, that type of those schools? And or do you think that's just going to be flat out done?
No, I honestly think it's going to be done. And again, you have to take a look at, and I have to keep coming back to it, is the numbers down here in the South just have not gone down whatsoever. In fact, they're increasing daily. I think there was another record today. So I think you're getting into the health and safety of the student athletes, and just going about it in an independent manner, it could end up costing the school a lot more than it would have from playing geographically and playing within conference, things of that nature. So I just don't see that as a viable alternative.
Gotcha. Now, my last question for you, Charles. Big news this past week and a half. Five-star basketball prospect McCourt Maker committed to Howard University over three Power Five schools. What does him committing to a HBCU team, what does that mean to HBCU schools, and can we see that as a trend to revitalize HBCU basketball programs and football programs, for that matter, to get the big-time recruits and not lose them to the Power Five?
I think right now it's a little early to tell whether it's a trend or not. Make no mistake about it, McCourt Maker going to Howard is huge for Howard University, huge for the MEAC, huge for HBCU basketball. And I would say that probably over the last 10 years, McCourt Maker might be a five-star player, but we've seen Division I players transfer to the SWAC and transfer to the MEAC. Over the past probably 10 years, Texas Southern University in Houston, Texas has been one of the most teams in the SWAC, and their roster has primarily consisted of Division I transfers. So it is one of those things that's trending in a direction where you see a lot of players who want to play on HBCU campuses. It's definitely a different environment, an environment that they found to be comforting, if you will, mm-hmm. Definitely an environment that they want to come to. And now we're starting to see a trend where guys are looking at HBCUs coming out of high school, and that's different. I think I was talking to a few student-athletes, and their point is, you know, we're kind of beyond a tipping point with the social climate within the country right now. So, I think it's still a bit early to see if it's actually a trend or not. But I tell you what, there are a lot more high school athletes that are actually looking at playing on HBCU campuses. And, you know, it could be a huge huge thing going forward for HBCUs to start getting that front-end talent as opposed to the talent that comes back to HBCUs.